This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I'm going to bend over backwards to make sure that Governor-elect DeSantis has one of the most successful inaugurations in the history of the state of Florida.
That's the newest mayor in Florida's capital city. John Daly plans to roll out the red carpet like no one has ever done before, all part of fulfilling his longtime dream.
My entire academic, my entire professional, my entire political and personal life has led me to this point, and I am thrilled to be able to serve as mayor of the city of Tallahassee.
Also on this episode, we look to the west, where some Floridians still sleeping in tents since Hurricane Michael are being pressured to relocate their tent cities.
This is in Panama City, and the authorities here are forcing all these people out on Sunday with no help and nowhere to go. They just want them out.
That's Steve Lowe, a volunteer doing his own post-hurricane relief work in the Panama City area. All that and so much more coming up on episode 160 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. Panama City and communities impacted by Hurricane Michael are still crippling along to recovery. Monday was a deadline for many displaced residents living in tents behind Forest Park Methodist Church to leave by an order from the city. And one observer says that will leave them to fend for themselves. The city didn't allow tent camping, but made exceptions for workers and others after Hurricane Michael. The church initially set the December 10th deadline, and Mayor Greg Brudnicki says they will enforce it. Flagler County resident Steve Lowe has made several trips to Panama City in his camper since the storm. On his own, he's brought supplies and used social media to alert friends to chip in. Here's one of Lowe's videos posted on Facebook where he says he's seen little help from the city for the homeless.
This is the tent city I first visited 2 weeks ago, delivering some supplies. At the time, we estimated there were about 600 people here. It's dwindled now to, looks like, maybe 400. This is in Panama City, and the authorities here are forcing all these people out on Sunday with no help and nowhere to go. They just want them out because they are more interested in the tourism industry here than the people that live here.
Lowe says he's been trying to get organizations like the ACLU to halt the evictions, but now hopes other people will step up to assist those in need. He isn't sure where many will go since shelters in the area are full.
Some of these people are chronically homeless. And some of them are actually volunteers and workers that were forced out of their motel rooms for the tourists. But the majority were families that were displaced by the hurricane. This is the church that lets them stay here. It's the United Methodist Church. They are okay with the people staying here, but the authorities are making them leave.
We were able to get Steve on the phone where he made it clear communication has been a major part of the problem.
There's no information here. It's like a blackout. You know, none of the TV stations, the news stations, anybody's talking about any of this. Nobody's giving any information out from the government about where they could go. The local government is not trying to help them. They're not trying to find a place for them to move. They're not trying to transport them somewhere. They're not finding a place for them to go. They're just saying, you got to get out.
Lowe describes the situation on the ground as unlike anything he's seen before.
I'm a native Floridian. I was in Miami 2 days after Andrew. The damage here is worse than Andrew. It is the worst thing I have ever seen. I mean, I've lived here for 64 years. And, I mean, they're getting things done, but it's very, very slow.
One of the hospital's Bay Medical Sacred Heart says it will lay off 800 employees, nearly half its staff, due to the serious damage it suffered from Hurricane Michael. About 80% of buildings in Bay County were destroyed or severely damaged in the storm, and nearly 4,000 students in the county are considered homeless. Some Tallahassee residents are stepping up with campaigns to help make Christmas a little easier for displaced children by fundraising and collecting toys. Check out RotundaPodcast.com for links to those campaigns and Steve's GoFundMe page for the victims as well. While many were focused on Florida's governor's race, which featured then Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum and now Governor-elect Ron DeSantis, there was a bitter, hard-fought race between two Democrats in Florida's capital city. In the end, John Daly, a three-term Leon County commissioner, beat out Dustin Daniels, the former chief of staff to Andrew Gillum. So we have the winner, Mayor John Daly, on the program this week. This interview was recorded in his new office, so new the walls were still completely barren, as he gets settled back into his role as mayor for the second time. Yep, you heard that right. This is not the first time he's been named mayor of Tallahassee.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Been in here. Nice view.
It's a great view.
Yeah.
It's a great city.
All right, so Mayor John Daly, congratulations.
Thank
first
you
off,
much.
As you get your shoes all tied in there. Tell us about your journey to this office, to being in this room right here.
It actually is a pretty funny story. A lot of people don't realize that I grew up here in Tallahassee. When I was in eighth grade at Raw Middle School, I participated in a YMCA youth and government program, mm-hmm. where they brought eighth grade students from all across the district together. We learned about municipal government. We got to elect our civic leaders for a weekend program. And my friends elected me mayor of the city of Tallahassee in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I have a picture of then Mayor Betty Harley swearing me in as mayor for the weekend, almost physically to the same spot that I was sworn in as mayor just the other night. So I caught the bug early on that, number one, I love local government. And I wanted to serve. Mm-hmm. And I grew up at the dinner table conversation in a family of public servants. My mother was a school teacher. My father was in the university system. He also served as a school board member. So I kind of grew up where public policy and public service was just what we talked about. Yeah. This is what I studied in school. This is what I have done professionally, my entire professional career. And then I was fortunate enough to serve for 12 years on the Leon County Commission. My entire academic, my entire professional, my entire political and personal life has led me to this point, and I am thrilled to be able to serve as mayor of the city of Tallahassee.
So looking at all those times and opportunities to jump in and actually run for mayor, why this time? It worked out for you this time, but why didn't you decide to run early on?
It's a great question. Running for office is a personal decision. And in my family, it's also a family decision. I've been married to a wonderful woman for 21 years. We have two young boys. And so timing is right, because when you get into public service as an elected official, you want to be able to give it your all. You want to be able to give it your best. This is the perfect time in my life to do so. And so, I'm glad I had the opportunity, and I'm glad I threw my hat in the ring.
Yeah. So this campaign, it got nasty. It was interesting. Any things looking back, lessons to learn about politics that you can tell others who may contemplate running for maybe someone like you who was sworn in as a junior mayor that may sometimes want to come into this office for real?
Well, look, I ran against a very strong gentleman that ran a great campaign. Look, it is what it is. This has not, as you know, this has not changed for hundreds of years in American democracy. You can go back to some of the first campaigns, Adams and Hamilton, and look at some of the discourse that took place. Mm-hmm. I think with 24-hour news media and social media, it does elevate the conversation per se. But look, campaigns are what they are. If you're going to jump in, you do have to have thick skin. Obviously, don't take offense to everything that is written. Don't take offense to everything that is said. Do the best job you can. Put yourself out there, put your ideas out there, and work as hard as you possibly can.
So how has it been the last few days transitioning in? What have you been hearing from the community? What's top of mind as you settle into this position?
Sure. Three things come to mind immediately. Number one, we've got a dynamic commission. Jeremy and Diane and I are extremely excited to be serving, and we've been on the job now, 2 weeks? Scott and Curtis bring a lot to the table, obviously, having the experience of being here. There is a different feel up here on the fourth floor. There is a different energy. There is a different excitement. Obviously, there's new staff coming on board with the commission, and we are genuinely excited and ready to jump in. Our first meeting is Wednesday. Number two, the professional staff here at the city is second to none. From the four appointeds and their staff all the way down to the front line. I could not be more proud of the men and women that work for the city of Tallahassee and help deliver great municipal services. And then, yes, it's been wonderful hearing from the community. It's just the feel, the excitement. It's a new chapter in the city moving forward. Look, this is the first time in decades that a majority of your commission is brand new, and three of the four appointed officials have come on board in the past, 18 months? I mean, this is transformational, and we're all ready to move forward. So it's been really exciting.
We've seen during the hurricanes and criticism of not having a strong mayoral system. How do you plan to navigate your power and strength here in Tallahassee with your colleagues, the other commissioners?
Well, we have a council management form of government, which I support. I think it's the right form of government for our size city. What I think I bring to the table is a true detailed knowledge of how council management form of government operates. As you just mentioned in the example of a storm situation, I have 12 years of experience being on the other side as a county commissioner. I know how the EOC is supposed to run. I know the roles that we are all supposed to play. If anything, the relationship between the city and the county will be the strongest it's been in 20 years because of the fact that I have served for the past 12 years with my fine colleagues over at the county commission. We know each other. We're very good friends. We work well together. I bring knowledge to the table of how the process is supposed to work, and I embrace it.
What about your relationship looking right across the street, the Capitol? What do you expect with lawmakers and that relationship there? Are there things that you're planning to do to strengthen, shift, adjust? What do you have as your outlook looking ahead?
Absolutely. One of my personal campaigns that I tell every newly elected state official, whether it's the new governor and cabinet members, whether it's the Senate leadership or the House leadership, is, hey, I am the mayor of your home away from home. You have a mayor of the community that you serve, but as a Floridian, I am the mayor of your capital city, and you are going to spend a considerable amount of time in your home away from home. And my job as mayor is to provide world-class municipal services. If you are newly elected and you're bringing on new staff to Tallahassee, I want their transition to go as smoothly as possible. I want to be a community partner. I want you to enjoy the beauty and the assets that the city of Tallahassee has to offer you as a citizen, and I want you to help celebrate who we are. I'm going to bend over backwards to make sure that Governor-elect DeSantis has one of the most successful inaugurations in the history of the state of Florida. I am going to be a team player. Tomorrow night is our last city commission meeting, I believe, before inauguration. So my job as mayor is to make sure that we have the policy in place that gives the financial flexibility and the policy decision-making to the city manager. So if things come up between now and then in the planning of the inauguration over the holidays, the city can respond, and we can respond in a timely manner. Because at the end of the day, we are a team player, and we are going to make sure that this is a smooth transition. It has nothing to do with being a Democrat or a Republican, has nothing to do with party politics. This is the celebration of the smooth transition of power from one administration to another. It is a time to celebrate, and it is a time to support the new administration coming in, and I wholeheartedly believe in that.
We've seen other inauguration, Governor Rick Scott's inauguration and the parade. Are we going to get similar events going on for this?
Well, those details will be hammered out by the inauguration committee and the transition team, and I wholeheartedly support whatever decision that they decide to put in place. We are here to support them.
More with Tallahassee Mayor John Daly coming up. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contributions to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us expand our reach. Is also featured on newspaper websites throughout Florida and across the country. And we couldn't do it without your support. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, and Facebook. Oh, and check out where you can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com. We welcome your generous contributions along with your tips and story ideas. Be an active listener, and thanks for your support. Welcome back to The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Tallahassee Mayor John Daly.
You mentioned being a team player. Last administration under Andrew Gillum, there was a lot of sparring with from the president to Governor Rick Scott on issues like sanctuary cities, guns on campus, and so on and so forth. Where do you stand with engaging with these very controversial issues?
Well, first, Mayor Gillum is a friend, and I thank him for his service. And he served Tallahassee for many, many years. And he has a fine tradition that he lives behind. Having said that, everyone's different. Everyone has their different leadership styles. Everyone has their different governing styles. While some people might brand me as a progressive here or a conservative here or whatnot, my goal is to provide world-class municipal services to increase the quality of life for every citizen and visitor to the city of Tallahassee, and to do so in a manner that you can be proud of your city government and the nationally and state recognized services that we provide. There will become issues here and there that we will obviously get involved with. We will have our differences. You know, I'll have differences with my own colleagues on the city commission. That's how the process works. I think that history will look back on each and every one of us that serves and sees how we conduct ourselves and the manner in which we conduct ourselves. And that is how history will remind us. Mm-hmm. I like to bring people back together. I like to bring people to the table, even those that I vehemently disagree with. I think it's important that everybody has a voice, everybody has the opportunity to be heard, and we should truly try to work together to solve our issues. And I'm going to be that type of leader.
What's your elevator pitch for those new people coming to Tallahassee? The big draw, the Capitol, with those controversial issues. Many times a busload of folks from South Florida are coming up here and they've never been to Tallahassee before. What are they in store for? What should they be looking forward to about the city?
Well, I think first and foremost, what captures most people's attention is our natural beauty. Tallahassee is truly a beautiful place. We are known as a tree city. We are known for our rolling hills. We are known for our canopy roads. And I think that gets people's attention. And it's our responsibility to protect that natural beauty and to enhance it. But we're also a vibrant city. I mean, people forget we are the seventh largest municipality out of 412 in the state of Florida. We are a university town. We've got Florida A&M University, we have Florida State University, we have Tallahassee Community College. We've got a vibrant arts and culture scene, from the concerts that we bring to town to the art shows and the exhibits that we bring. We have a lot to offer. And you're right, sometimes we're the best kept secret. It's my job to be the number one cheerleader and make sure everybody knows about all the amazing assets of our community.
Last question on, you mentioned Tree City, and it brought me back to the hurricane again.
Right.
Being that we're a tree city, and we can barely handle just a little bit of rain that we've been dealing with, trees fall. Is there an effort to make our utilities go underground, the power lines, instead of being on top where they're susceptible to trees falling over and over again? What's the plan for that? Do we not have enough money to make that change? Or what do you expect going forward with dealing with these natural disasters with our beauty of these trees?
Yeah, Tramiel, that is the million-dollar question, should I say. Let me tell you, I love my trees and I love my air conditioner, and I don't think the two should have to live apart. Too many times in this community, we have the either-or argument. You either live with your trees or you live with your power lines, and I'm going to be that mayor that brings creative thinking to the table. I do think that we need to have that hard conversation and really begin to strategic plan how we bury our power lines and where are the most important places to bury our power lines first. Hospital access, nursing home access, our major transportation corridors where we service tens of thousands of people in neighborhoods. Absolutely. Let's put together a plan. Let's work the budget and let's make sure that we have a plan in place that we can accomplish our goals. Now, having said that, you might have some neighborhoods that don't want to wait a couple of years. They're ready to move forward now. I think it is upon our shoulders to think creatively, to find new ways to accomplish those goals. That is not an easy task, whether we're talking about municipal service taxing units for a specific neighborhood where we spread out the cost of burying power lines over 10 or 20 years on a property tax assessment, but yet the lines are buried now versus waiting 10 or 15 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And once we get to your neighborhood, we accomplish it. We have to think big. We have to think creative. We have to figure out the most economical way to be able to do it, but we have to have this conversation.
All right, well, Mayor John Daly, thank you so much for joining me here on the Rotunda. I look forward to having you back in the future.
Thanks, Tramiel, appreciate it.
That's it for this edition of the Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramiel Gomes.